Kendall, welcome to Share Truth Apply Scripture. I am Jordan Shambley, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sartin.
And we're having a blast.
You know what? We should do like a special pre-recording kind of thing, because we always have these like fun conversations about random things.
Yeah. I'll go ahead. I think we have the time. I'll just go ahead and tell everybody. I had a fall the other day.
Yeah.
I slipped in the carport. Yeah. And hurt my knee pretty badly, and the back of my head,
yeah.
I hit on something. And so that's what we've talked about. So the guys have been laughing at me.
It was a lot more funny than what you just said. But
yeah. Well, I don't want to go into detail.
But anyway, we were just having a conversation about times where we or our loved ones have slipped and fallen in humorous situations. Mm-hmm. Laughing at other people's misery. Start the day off.
You know, I was laughing at myself. It's fine.
All right. Well, we do have Chris Woodward in the studio with us. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And so you guys, fans of the show, should know what we're going to be talking about. And it's not slipping and falling.
No.
Doom and gloom.
Yeah. So as always, yeah, we have Chris in once every month or so.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
It's been a little while. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a little while with the holidays. Sometimes things kind of go out of whack, but we're back in stride again, and we're going to talk about what's been going on in the world, what we need to be concerned about and praying about as Christians. And Chris, you always bring some great perspective. So what do we need to be knowing about?
Well, I think we need to, number one, read up on this story, which I'm about to share, and you can find it on our website, afn.net. And I think we should also be in prayer over this situation, because unfortunately, this man's story, he's not going to be alone in this situation. There are several things happening or about to happen throughout the globe that are similar to the situation involving a Dr. Aaron Edwards. He was a theology professor at Cliff College, which is a Methodist school in England, and he is now suing after what he called his wrongful termination. Back in March, he was fired after posting on then Twitter that homosexuality is, quote, invading the church. He said, and I'm quoting here, evangelicals no longer see the severity of this because they're busy apologizing for their apparently barbaric homophobia, whether or not it's true. This is a gospel issue, by the way. If sin is no longer sin, we no longer need a savior. For that post, he was eventually fired a few weeks later, again from Cliff College, a Methodist school in England. He was not, he didn't say ugly things like one might expect about homosexuality or any community out there with which somebody might have an issue with as far as their practices and activities. But he was fired, and he has since lawyered up with an organization called the Christian Legal Center, and they're saying he was unfairly fired. I bring this up because Dr. Edwards is just one of many people out there trying to use his social media to reach people. And in this case, he was speaking to members of the church, the big C, trying to say, hey, we're allowing sin and things the Bible clearly preaches against to infiltrate our church, and people are becoming increasingly acceptable of it. This is not biblical. We should take this into account, reform, and keep on carrying on. So this story, I should say, is going to be carrying over into the new year. It could be a year or so before we really get the ball rolling, given how the legal system in the UK and other parts of Europe conduct themselves.
Yeah.
But I bring it up because, you know, his story is one of many that we have covered on AFN, and it's probably not the last one we're going to have to bring in on this show.
Yeah. Well, that is interesting. And too, because he's a professor at a Christian college. I mean, it's a Methodist college.
Right.
You would imagine they're Christian. And I know Methodist can mean a lot of different things as well within the denomination. But yeah, it is really sad that what he even said on his personal social media account to Christians — he wasn't speaking to the homosexual, you know, group of people. He was speaking to Christians about something that isn't Orthodox Christian belief. This is not a controversial Christian belief within Orthodox Christianity. It's not like he's saying, you know, women are, you know, not wearing head coverings in our congregations, and we need to stamp this out. You know, it was not something that people actually have disagreements in, you know, within the pews of Christianity. But this is something that we generally all agree that the Bible says that this is a sin. And yeah, he just sort of proved his point for him, didn't he? Like, that this is becoming acceptable, and it's unacceptable to point it out.
Yeah.
It's apparently unacceptable to point it out even at a Christian college, which is particularly disheartening.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations, too, where a lot of people, they kind of, when they're trying to find a university to go to or maybe to send their child to, they, mm-hmm. they kind of pound their chest and say, well, we're going to send them to the church school to avoid those public and private state universities and right. you know, things like that. You can't even find a place, a faith-based institution nowadays that's not moving to the left on mm-hmm. some sort of mm-hmm. issue. And this is in the UK, I know, which is a long way away from the U.S., but there right. are seminaries here in the U.S. That we do have to report on from time to time that are moving to the left on various cultural issues. And, you know, if they're doing it today, Lord only knows what 5 or 15 years is going to look like from now.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we know very well, a lot of the movements within our culture begin on university campuses mm-hmm. from the influence of professors. And professors are extremely influential when they are allowed to be, obviously, and depending on the agenda of their school, that can look like a lot of different things. I mean, here in the States, and I'm sure in other countries as well, we see a very, very leftist leaning viewpoint being pushed in most of our, I would say most of the universities here by professors, and very impressionable young people are just picking it up and running with it. Mm-hmm. And we see that having an effect in our culture. And, you know, honestly, it is a minority of the people, yeah. but they're very, very vocal. And they are our future politicians. They are future professors and, you know, influencers. So yeah. that's an important thing.
Well, you do have a lot of that are just uninformed and mm-hmm. they are ignorant of the facts.
Yeah.
And they just run with it. But then you have, there's a lot of them who are uninterested in knowing the truth.
Yeah.
Even when they're presented with it.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I don't want to hear that.
Right.
So then they become loud. They try to scream over you to keep you from
right.
Speaking.
Yeah.
And I see it time and time again, like a lot of protest. Mm-hmm. If someone of a conservative standpoint comes to these college campuses,
yes.
they come flooding out,
yeah.
trying to drown out this person, trying to yeah. shut them down.
Yeah, and that's shameful behavior. I mean, of course, in this country, you're allowed to protest whatever you want to protest.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a line of behavior that you should be held accountable to. And drowning out somebody so that they can't exercise their freedom of speech, like that mm-hmm. should be unacceptable in any culture.
Yeah. And attempting to attack some
yeah.
of the, some
well,
of them
that's obviously
have been
against
put
the law.
In danger. Yeah.
yeah.
You would think.
It's against the law if it's enforced, right?
Yeah.
One other free speech case that involves a person of faith over in Europe is a case involving a Finnish parlamentarian. Her name mm-hmm. is Päivi Räsänen, and we have long reported this lady's case because it's been in the news for a very long time.
Mm.
The update with Päivi Räsänen is that she was recently found not guilty of hate speech for a tweet that involved a Bible verse and other expressions of her Christian faith. She was represented by Alliance Defending Freedom International, ADF, is the same group that represents like the Jack Phillips of
yeah.
the world, bakers, photographers, believers. So Päivi Räsänen got some help from ADF International. And after years of back and forth and going in and out and up and down the court system over there in the in Europe, she was recently found not guilty of hate speech for, again, a Bible tweet and other expressions of her faith. Christian Wagner, who is the head of Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, she was on one of the programs that airs on American Family Radio. It's called Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Kristen told the host that day that, you know, a lot of these countries, including Finland, do have freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
But really, when no one fights for them and goes to court or goes to bat for people trying to practice their
yeah.
freedom of speech, it basically amounts to nothing.
Right.
And so I bring these in because while these are in England and Finland, these kinds of cases and these issues, again, are popping up in the United States of America. And people, even if they feel they have no way of winning, it's going to cost them a lot of time, it's going to cost them a lot of money, there are law firms out there that are willing to go to court for individuals in similar situations, because free speech for no one or mm-hmm. a few, it impacts everybody. If a Christian ought to be able to say something, a Jewish person ought to be able to say something,
yeah.
same as a Muslim or a Zoroastrian or some other religion.
All 25 of them.
Yes, all of them. So, you know, that's why ADF often often says, a win for our client is a win for everybody, because mm-hmm. everybody ought to have the freedom to say something, even if it's on social media or the public square.
Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of these stories that we have that they do have a win.
Yeah.
Is a win in one way, but mm-hmm. but usually it's only after years of this person being drugged through the mud,
right?
Drained, probably of, I mean, just like completely drained. They're probably exhausted mm-hmm. from all of this, and financially, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of them yes. are go this whole time without work, because it, a lot of it revolves around their jobs, mm-hmm. like, you know, the professors, the bakers, you know, and florist. You know, they don't have their jobs anymore. You have Joe Kennedy
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
his story, you know, like
football coach.
Yeah. You know, and they're, and so I can only imagine, like, they may have won that case, mm. but, and then their name is forever.
Yeah.
They're this person.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that it affects their ability to have work.
Yeah. Oftentimes when I request an interview with someone about a case like the ones I'm talking about today, sometimes I just get the attorney. Maybe the client yeah. is busy, or under advice of legal counsel, the attorney says, just let me handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, I do ask the attorney, like, hey, how's he doing? How's she doing? Are they holding up? I would imagine this is a difficult time. And more often than not, if not all the time, you get the positive, oh, you know, they remain optimistic and upbeat or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have our down days.
Yeah.
So I am sure the Joe Kennedys of the world, or the Dr. Aaron Edwards, or Pavi Rosnan, they do have, you know, a no good case of the Mondays.
Yeah.
That, you know, we do need to be in prayer for those individuals, because mm-hmm. they need strength as they do go through these tough situations,
yeah.
just like we do to do what it is that we do on a daily
yeah,
basis.
Yeah. And I think we all feel thankful and grateful that they didn't just lay down and
exactly
and
yeah.
and take it or compromise their faith in order to make things easier on them. They stuck up for their faith and for what they believed, and
yeah.
so we appreciate them for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we talk about how much they've lost, you know, in time and in energy and in money even, but they really won for everyone following them. And I think
mm-hmm.
that just because, like in Finland, I imagine, you know, a form of freedom of speech is in the law and codified, but just because something's written in the law doesn't mean that it will always apply. It has to be exercised.
Right.
And so if, you know, if we just roll over and accept defeat when those rights are challenged, then that will define how those rights are viewed
mm-hmm.
afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And we always want to be looking for precedents to set in a positive way. And so, yeah, we need to be praying for people who are struggling with these things, but we
mm-hmm.
also need to be exercising our freedom of speech and protecting it for other people, even people we don't necessarily agree with, because once they lose it, we lose it too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very important thing for society to function the way it should function, and for the gospel to spread the way it has been spreading, thankfully, in this country. So, yeah, it's very, very important stories like this.
I'm actually going to call an audible here.
Yeah.
This is not in my stack, but I do want to bring it up because we're heading into an election year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gotten into election coverage
a little bit. Mm-hmm.
in some of the segments that I've spent with you guys on this program. But I bring up elections because we are heading into an election year. I hope you know that. If you don't, I have failed you as a reporter. but we do need to be in prayer, not only for the candidates out there, but for people to make, you know, wise and righteous decisions.
Mm.
Some people say, well, you know, I don't really engage in politics. What's the point?
Mm.
I know people that feel as though it's pointless, because it's all part of God's plan and we should just let the chips fall wherever they may be.
Mm.
It's very important, I think, for us to become informed voters and to actually cast our vote, because we're not just voting for a president. We're voting for future justices, be justices on the Supreme Court, on the federal judiciary. We're picking the person that's going to determine the next few bureaucrats at the top of all kind of three-letter agencies and departments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of people will make decisions that will impact us as people of faith. Therefore, I think we should be engaged and really paying attention to who's running,
yeah.
what they're for. And I would encourage you not to just take whatever I tell you on the top of the hour news, but actually listen look up on C-SPAN and watch a speech from a candidate. Go to their website and read what it is they're for. Don't just believe what somebody on the radio or somebody on a television screen tells you they're for. Look it up for yourself.
You can also go to iVoterGuide.com to see a whole list of current elections that are happening, who's running in those elections, and I believe they have some sort of grading.
There's a lot of information about what those candidates stand for, what they are, what kind of policies they are pushing. So, again, iVoterGuide.com. Yeah. And if you want to keep up with what's going on in the news, yes. I mean, I'm not trying to be biased here, but AFN.net is a good direction to go.
Good.
Yeah. they're putting up stories every day, and you'll get to hear a lot of news coverage on AFR. So, and if you live in an area where you don't pick up AFR, or you're going to an area that maybe you can't pick up AFR, I encourage you to download the app.
Yes.
So you can go to your app store and you can look up American Family Radio or AFR and pull it up, and you'll be able to listen 24/7.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of the great things about AFR this time of year is the fact that a lot of our programs, like Exploring the Word or whatnot, they're doing a lot of Christmas story specials.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about things involving the Book of Matthew or the Gospel according to Luke, specifically the Nativity story.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that up because this is so sad. I think I might have talked about this before once a long time ago, but I bring it in today, even though it's from 2021, because I have my doubts as to whether things have improved. In 2021, Lifeway Research put out some information, and this is the headline from Lifeway. Few Americans are confident they could tell the biblical Christmas story. Okay, the Nativity, for those that are not aware, maybe they've never opened up the Bible, the Nativity story is basically like two, maybe three chapters in a book of, you know, a bunch of, you know, the Holy Bible is 60 plus books, and the Nativity story is basically 2.5 chapters.
Yeah.
And I just think that's very sad that few Americans who call themselves Christians are confident they could actually tell the biblical Christmas story.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring it up because I think as many of us are kind of thinking about which Bible reading plan we're going to take on in the new year, you know, actually delve into it early and find out what the Christmas story is. And again, don't just go with whatever you see on a television or film.
Linus Van Pelt
reciting. That is the holiest moment on television, though. When it used to air on ABC, man, that was my favorite.
We still watch it with the kids every year.
We own it on these things called DVD.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, and if people are looking for more information, they can go to afa.net/thestand.
Yes.
Because I've been seeing a lot of articles on there discussing the Christmas story and how to study and how to study with your family. And I think there's a lot of encouragement there.
Yeah.
So go to afa.net/thestand.
And I agree. It is really, really sad. And I don't want to come across like we're being like haughty and like, oh my goodness, all these people don't know, they're biblically illiterate. But this isn't like knowing the story of Hosea or, you know, knowing, you know, Ezra and Nehemiah and what was going on with those guys.
Open up the Book of Lamentations.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. It's not like that. This is one of the biggest, most defining,
the most central
moments.
Stories
yeah,
in the
exactly.
Faith.
I mean, this is on par with the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Right.
Like this is core to the Christian religion, no matter where you're from or what your denomination is.
Yeah.
Like this is essential, and it's not that hard to, it's not a complicated story.
No.
Like the characters are pretty minimal, like the named characters anyway. And like there's about three things that happen. So
in the time it would take for you to stream the Charlie Brown Christmas special, you could read the Nativity story maybe twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would also like to point out, please don't use a Nativity movie as a substitute. I've watched tons of them, and rarely are they
don't go to VeggieTales for this one.
Extremely accurate. there's some good ones.
Sure, there's good ones.
I encourage you not to use a movie as a substitute for reading the actual words.
Yeah, and look, there's, I mean, come on, like in this day and age, we have the Word of God is literally, figuratively, flowing through the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
You can access it if you want to access it. You don't even have to go get a physical Bible. I have a ESV app on my phone.
Everybody,
I've got two Bible apps on my phone. And I mean, some of them read the Bible to me.
Yes.
So minimal effort is required.
I have my Bible app, and then I have another app that's got devotionals on it. And it's so easy to download a Bible.
Yeah, we are incredibly blessed in this country, and I mean just Western civilization in general, just the amount of technology that we have and the amount of opportunity that we have to be in the Word of God.
Yeah, I mean, you stay in a hotel, usually there's a Bible in
one of
the drawers.
Yeah, there's some sort of religious book, and usually it's a Bible. I've seen the Book of Mormon. That was really interesting.
Oh.
But yeah, you really, like, if you call yourself a Christian and you live here in this country, mm-hmm. you really have to be trying to avoid the Word of God at this point. And this is a point of biblical literacy that I feel is really, really important.
Especially if you live in Mississippi. I heard somebody joke recently, we have more Baptists in Mississippi than we have human beings. I mean, for those that are not familiar with, say, Mississippi or Alabama, we do have a ton of Baptist churches, but there's also Methodist churches, Catholic churches, and a number of other houses of worship. So basically, we are not short of places to go and worship.
No, there's a church on every corner.
Our culture is very heavily inundated with churches, and that's good if the Christians in the pews are taking advantage of the Word of God.
Yes. I mean, I'm bummed.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I come across things,
humbug.
You know, either they land on my desk as an assignment that I'm supposed to call somebody on, or I'm looking up Bible topics to bring in here. And this one, it really brought me down. So let's, you know, there's still time until the Lord returns for us to fix it. Mm-hmm. So between now and 2024, or maybe in 2024, mm-hmm. let's all get together. And you know what? Read the Bible story, even if it's March.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes time to celebrate Easter or Resurrection Sunday, read the beginning of the story. The ending is the most important, the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to find out how he got here and how that delivered on Bible prophecies, and that makes it that much more significant, I think.
Absolutely.
And I think that if you have children at home, mm-hmm. Whether they're your kids, grandkids, foster children, whatever, I think it's even more important. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very important for you to read it on your own, but I think it's so much more important even then to have that time with your family where you maybe sit down and read it together.
Absolutely.
Lastly, I've got another thing from Lifeway, and this is hot off the presses. This was this year.
Mm-hmm.
The headline is Most Popular Bible Verses During Christmas. And this is coming from Lifeway.
Okay.
Therefore, I am assuming these are NIV verses.
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses as to what popular Bible verses they may have here from or during Christmas?
Oh, a guess?
Yeah.
I want to say the Handel's Messiah verses from Isaiah. Probably.
There is an Isaiah on here.
Uh-huh.
Isaiah 9:6 is number 2.
Oh, okay.
For those not familiar with Isaiah 9:6, and it doesn't show which translation that is, but it's quoted as saying, "For a child will mm-hmm. be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace."
That was the verse playing in my head, but I was trying to think of the scripture reference.
Yeah, I remembered Isaiah. I didn't remember the chapter.
Because I can't tell you the number of Christmas programs that I've been to where that was recited.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard there's sometimes if your church has like special music mm-hmm. portions, this is one of the things I've heard sung or sang.
Mm-hmm.
never really grasped singed. Which one was correct there. Somebody got up there and sang. But the other popular verses are Matthew 1:21, Luke 2:14, mm-hmm. which says, "Glory to God in the highest mm-hmm. heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." Some might say that's worded a different way in other translations.
Yeah.
Luke 2:11 is also on here. Psalm 32:8, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Colossians 1:16, and then John 1:14, which says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." If you want to read more of these verses, just Google or whatever it is that you use, most popular Bible verses during Christmas. The Lifeway post is probably going to show up there. And, you know, get together, read these verses with you and yours, and then also take the time to read the nativity story.
Absolutely. And, you know, a good family tradition to start is, one, is the Advent tradition. Mm-hmm. A lot of churches do Advent together. Mm-hmm. Some don't. It can be denominational, but it's quite a simple tradition of lighting a candle every Sunday leading up to Christmas.
Yep.
I grew up with that every year.
And singing some Christmas carols, singing some hymns, reading verses that are prophecy related to the coming of Christ, and then culminating in the Christmas story is a good one. Also, one that is a little simpler and more engaging for young people, mm-hmm. Kids, is the Jesse tree. And a lot of people do the Jesse. We're doing that this year with our kids, where there's a tree with different ornaments that each kid takes turns hanging the ornaments, and each one has a Bible verse connected to it. So there's a lot of really good engaging traditions that you can do with your family to reinforce that sort of Christmas knowledge of the mm-hmm. Bible and what the incarnation of Christ really means for us as Christians. So I encourage you guys to do some investigating and maybe introduce some of those to your families this year.
And this is not necessarily like a learning assignment, but if there's a way that you can give to somebody else who is struggling during this time and maybe get your children involved, there are so many ways that you can do that mm-hmm. and ways that you can give. And you can do it for people that you know.
Yeah.
There are things out there. I don't know if y'all have ever done like things like the angel trees
the angel
and
tree,
stuff like
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
where there are kids who, and a lot of times you go and read these lists and it's only necessities because that's, you know, mm-hmm. and they might tack on a toy or something
yeah.
at the end. So these kids are asking for clothes,
yeah.
jackets, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are people out there who could use that. And if you maybe use that opportunity with mm-hmm. you and your family to teach your children to have a giving spirit, and also
yes.
you can use that opportunity to share Christ with others. So
absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? If you have an overflowing toy box, and you know that you do,
mm-hmm.
or clothes that you're holding on to because one day you think you might mm-hmm. wear it again,
mm-hmm.
I would recommend that it's time to pass that on and have a tradition of donating. I mm-hmm. think that my kids have actually brought that up this year of like, hey, Dad, I would like to donate things because they saw somebody else do it on a video or something. So I think that's something we're going to do as well. So great, great suggestion. Oh, anyway, thanks, Chris, for being on with us today.
Thank you.
Always great to have you. And until next episode, continue to share truth and apply scripture.